Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it was a big Sunday for the Hurts deep ball, connecting in Minnesota against the top-notch defense, Joe O. Sammy P. This is BetSweats, BetMGM Network. Every Tuesday, our buddy Will Brinson, kind enough to drop by from CBS Sports to talk some NFL. Thinking about the Eagles there, they're the fifth favorite, Will, when you look at the updated odds for the Super Bowl. That's where they were last week, so all the questions about them, I guess you got some answers, even though it was mostly about Wentz on the other side. I'm looking at the team that's right behind the Eagles. Now the Colts, it's like, okay, we've seen enough. You're real. You're the sixth favorite. Are you buying or, like, where are you on Indy? And what sort of a ceiling are we talking about here?
Yeah, so I had the Chargers. I got to the Chargers as a contest pick at the last second on, like, Saturday morning. Obviously regretted. It ended up being one of the consensus five in the Circa Millions. I can't believe that. I thought people would be backing the Colts, honestly. Chargers are, like, here's the thing on the Colts. They are, I think they're really good when they're front running. I think they're a really good team and they're well coached. And maybe the best comp for the 2025 Colts is the 2024 Vikings, right? You have a defense with an established coordinator. Lou Anarumo was good in Cincinnati. I mean, he kind of got scapegoated by the Bengals. Like, he didn't have anybody to run the defense. So the defense is vastly improved with Lou Anarumo. You have this reclamation project, former, you know, top 10 pick quarterback, goes to New York, doesn't work out. The New York media plasters him all over the tabloids. Goes and sits and, you know, kind of learns in a different situation, lands with a good coaching staff. And I think Shane Steichen is a good coach. Like, he's gotten the most out of, like, a completely, you know, impossible quarterback situation over the past few years because they've had a different starter every year. And then let's not sleep on the fact that, you know, rest his country singing soul, Jim Irsay is not meddling anymore. I mean, Jim Irsay was a big-time meddling NFL owner, and so I think that there's a little stability with Indianapolis. Jonathan Taylor looks incredible. He should be the massive favorite to be the offensive player of the year. You see him catch the ball in the backfield from Indiana Jones, and he's like, looks so spry, so explosive, and he's not like, he doesn't look bulky. They got the weapons in the passing game, and yeah, like, I think they're legit. The problem is, you know, the Chiefs, like, the Chiefs feel pretty inevitable in the AFC. You know, obviously, if I were picking a team at 11-1 or in that range, the 10-15-1, I would take the Rams, but that's just me. Rams-Chiefs feels like the Super Bowl matchup I see happening.
You have been talking about the Rams for months on the show.
Not really, years, Sam. Yes, years, but yes.
You've been talking about the Rams for years. So Joe saw a tweet yesterday. He got very upset because there's a writer that did his power rankings, and he has the Bucs 1, the Colts 2. He basically did the top 10, and he does not have the Chiefs in the top 10. But guess who he does have on line 10? The Chicago Bears. Joe was very triggered yesterday.
Who was it? I mean, name names. Who was this? I know when Pete Prisco has come out today, I think.
Bucky Brooks.
I like Bucky. He's a UNC guy, but I don't know. Yeah, I like Bucky.
But this didn't make any sense.
Yeah, like so Prisco had the Chiefs below the Colts, going to have the Chiefs below the Colts, I think, which is like, okay, I kind of get it. You're sort of capturing the moment of time. But like the Chiefs should be in the top three. Like, I mean, like the Chiefs have this pedigree that they've established over the past, you know, 5 to 10 years with the coach, now with the quarterback of Mahomes. It's crazy to think we're coming up on like close to year 10 on Mahomes, right? They got Rashee Rice back. The defense looks really good. The Chiefs are just the best team in football right now, and understandably scary. I don't care if they lost to the Jaguars 2 weeks ago. You know, it was kind of a fluky game. The Rashee Rice thing looks real to me in terms of elevating that offense. So yeah, I mean, I think the Chiefs are. I think the Bears are interesting. I think Ben Johnson's done a good job coming out of the bye. They obviously played really hard on defense. The defense looks much better the last 2 weeks. So I don't mind having the Bears up there, but you can't have the Bears above the Chiefs. That's just sacrilegious.
You also can't have the Chiefs outside of the top 10. Like, that's just
ridiculous. No! You can't have the Chiefs outside the top 5. Like, what are we doing?
That's rage bait. Look, it's rage bait is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you're naming your top 5, it's right. It's the Chiefs. I think I put the Lions in there pretty easily. Colts, I think, have to be in the top 5. I think the Rams have to be in the top 5 based on like the full season. And then you can have a discussion about what do we think about the Bills coming out of the bye? Can they fix that defense? Because the Panthers are, I mean, even without Bryce Young and maybe Andy Dalton's not a huge downgrade, the Panthers are kind of a bad matchup for the Bills because the Panthers run the ball really well and stop the run really well, especially since Derrick Brown came back over the last 3 weeks. If the Bills struggle with the Panthers, especially against like stopping Chuba Hubbard and Rico Dowdle, I've got major issues with the Bills. And then the other team would be the Eagles. Is what we saw in Week 7 what we're going to see the rest of the year? If it is, the Eagles should probably be the favorites to win the NFC because if they are going to be explosive down the field with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, it's going to open up Saquon Barkley running the ball a lot more. If not, I would take the Lions.
What about another NFC team that we saw late last night if you stayed up? I know you're on the East Coast.
I did.
Wait, yeah. Okay. Tell us about Seattle. Are you a believer?
Oh, yeah. Seattle should probably be – Seattle. So, like, I think that, like, Seattle's right there. I mean, Darnold looks really good. Clint Kubiak, you know, great job by Mike McDonald to recognize that he needed to change schemes. Brings in Clint Kubiak. We saw Kubiak, you know, last year at the start of last season, the Saints looked awesome on offense. And Darnold's just so good in this sort of play action type of stuff that, you know, he explosive down the field. Jackson Smith and Jigba is a top 3 receiver. I mean, like, dude is unbelievable. And remember coming out, and I mean, they mentioned this a bunch on the broadcast last night, but, you know, Chris Fowler was talking about it because he called the game when JSN went nuts in college. But every receiver to a man in that receiver room, which is like the all-time loaded receiver room at Ohio State, said that JSN was the best receiver in that room, and he's proving them true. You know, they have some talent at tight end. The two-headed monster at running back seems to be working, and that defense, you know, we saw it when Mike McDonald was with the Ravens. Like, they send guys from everywhere at you, and they have bullies at every level of that defense. Devin Witherspoon didn't even play last night. Shout out to my guy, Drake Thomas. Love Drake Thomas, undrafted free agent out of NC State, and he was flying all over the place last night. So, like, if they added like a UDFA to that linebacker group who can play, and I saw him play a bunch in college. He's a really good player. You know, that's a dangerous group. I don't know that you win the Super Bowl with Sam Darnold, but I mean, you know, the NFC, you know, the Lions are really, really good. They're only going to get healthier. The Packers are sort of like, I don't know what the Packers are. You know, the Eagles maybe answered some questions last week. And so, yeah, like, I mean, the Rams are awesome. And then Seattle's right there. I think the NFC, you can get to the Super Bowl with Sam Darnold. I don't know if you can beat Patrick Mahomes.
How impressed have you been with Drake May?
Blown away. Shout out to all the donkeys who had the Patriots making the playoffs. You know, you look smart laying the -125 or whatever it was. Vrabel's a great coach. I mean, it's true. Like, it was a ridiculous number. And, you know, the issue for me was the stuff coming out of training camp. Like, Drake May isn't acclimating to Josh McDaniels' system the way they wanted. Well, he has now. And Josh McDaniels, like, say whatever you want about his head coaching jobs in Denver and Las Vegas, total disasters, both of them. you know, between the drafting and the trades and general coaching. But the guy knows how to take a generationally talented quarterback in New England and turn him into a great player. I think, you know, it's going to be tough to beat Mahomes out. I think that plus 150 is probably fair if the wide receivers are healthy the rest of the way. You know, the narrative is going to build for Mahomes to probably win that award. But, you know, May at 10 and Stafford at 12, you know, I think they've got chances to do it, but you're going to have to win the division, which is really the hard part for Drake May. But he's been awesome. I mean, he throws the ball down the field. Like, it's amazing what good coaching can do, because you see how May couldn't close and win the big one in college. Then he gets to the pros and you have big questions about him in his first year with bad coaching. And now all of a sudden you bring in Mike Vrabel and Josh McDaniels and the guy's an MVP candidate.
With Will Brinson here on BetSweat, if you had to vote today for the coach of the year, you go in Steichen or Vrabel, a couple teams that we talked about, or you're going somewhere else. Sam brought up the idea of Shanahan with all of these injuries, and I don't think it's that crazy.
No, it's not at all. Now, I don't know if you can toss the odds on the screen. I think that Steichen is a pretty heavy favorite, and deservedly so. Yeah. Like, you got Daniel Jones. You know, you were probably the third favorite in your division to win the AFC South, which is not like a, you know, murderer's row. I think Steichen should be the favorite, but man, Kyle Shanahan is like, he's like, who's the lady who was the famous nurse from like the old wars? That sounds good. I was gonna say Betsy Ross, but I think she sewed a flag. You know, he's operating this team with a freaking tourniquet. And if we're going to give, you know, Shane Steichen all this credit for what he's doing with Daniel Jones, and he deserves all the credit. Like, Kyle's doing it with Mac Jones, and he's doing it. Yeah, he's got Christian McCaffrey, but like Christian McCaffrey, Jonathan Taylor, that's probably a wash. I think the assistant coach of the year award right now, because I think there is one now, should go to Robert Saleh. I mean, this is like, you lose Fred Warner, you lose Nick Bosa, no problem. We'll just shut down the Falcons on Sunday Night Football. I mean, the 49ers are not going away. They're going to get Brandon Ayuk back at some point. You'd like to think Juwan. I mean, the Kendrick Bourne is – it's great. It's wild. It speaks to the Kyle Shanahan system. You know, I think if they won that division, you have a case. But, I mean, I have no problem with Steichen winning it. Vrabel definitely deserves some love too. But like, to me, the coach of the year, I know the betting stuff is like you go above your win total and that's how we can sort of figure out who it is. But to me, it's like, how bad of a hand have you been dealt and what did you do with that disastrous hand? And I think Kyle Shanahan, you know, really exemplifies that even more so than Shane Steichen, who, again, deserving candidate.
Great pull by Paul Aspen, producer of the show. Clara Barton, teacher, humanitarian.
Clara Barton, thank you.
Red Cross in 1881. She earned the nickname Angel of the Battlefield in the Civil War.
Yeah, that's Kyle Shanahan is Clara Barton right now. And good pull by Paul. hopefully he Googled old lady helping dudes in war.
He didn't Google anything. No.
Good job. I knew Clara Barton and I just completely froze. I almost said Betty Ford, which is that's not what we want, right?
Kyle Shanahan is Clara Barton. That's outstanding. All right, let's turn the page. We've been looking back. Let's look ahead. Anything you love in week number 8?
Week 8 is tough. We got 6 teams on bye. The lines, I think at first blush, look very difficult. I wrote a Bet It Now piece for CBSSports.com that is up this morning. I was ahead. I had the Bills Panthers under. I think that's a pretty good look. It's still at 45.5. 45.5. Juice a little bit to the over is what I'm seeing. Correct me if you see something else, but like it was 46.5. That's too high. Josh Allen can if the Bills get up big, I would be a little and it's like 21-10 late. I would probably look at maybe a live over to hedge that if you take the under. But like both these teams want to run the football a ton, and Carolina has to shorten this game to beat Josh Allen and Buffalo. Buffalo can't stop the run. Carolina good at running. They should be able to shorten that game, I think. The over, I gave this one out. Yeah, I gave it out at 40. This is stupid. Why was the Cowboys Broncos over-under not lined at 50 initially. Like, I still think 50 and a half is a lot of points. I like it. Like, the Broncos defense is good. And Patrick Surtain can limit what C.D. Lamb does. But they have too many weapons between Jake Ferguson, George Pickens, Ryan Flaherty. You know, like, they're going to be able to move the ball. Javonte Williams running the ball really well. They're going to be able to score. Dak Prescott's playing MVP caliber football right now. They're going to be able to score. And I think Denver, you saw it late against the Giants. Denver is willing to sort of get into one of those, you know, it's like those games where Denver wants to play a certain way, but Dallas is going to draw them into a shootout. I think that's what's going to happen. And Bo Nix really impressive in the fourth quarter. Down 19-0 and just making it happen and finding a way to win. So that total to me, I like. And then this is probably stupid, but I said Pittsburgh plus 3.5. I mean, come on. Like, really? The Packers don't close anybody out. It's Aaron Rodgers playing his old team for the first time, maybe the only time ever. And he's getting a field goal and a hook at home on Sunday Night Football. Like, you think that dude's going to lose by more than three against his old team? No. I mean, like, I think the Steelers win that game.
After Pittsburgh loses last Thursday, it's big favorites in the division. It's like just Tomlin, right? You just look at that game a Tomlin spot. Take him as a dog.
Well, no, unless exactly. Tomlin, home dog, 10 days rest. Josh Jacobs is banged up. I mean, he almost didn't play in week 7, so he's going to be questionable coming in. They were rotating Emmanuel Wilson in early in that game. The Packers, for all of the talent that they have on both sides of the ball, and like, they're impressive and they win games, they just don't close anybody out. I mean, give me 3.5 or 3 all day with the Steelers.
Will Brinson, CBSSports.com. Check out his work over there. Thank you, Will. A Survivor first look. What?
Claire Martin, baby.
There you go.
No, you're going to Claire.
Oh, I didn't see the picture. Oh, my God. Thank you, Will. Talk next week.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
BetSweats, BetMGM Network, Tuesday mornings, recapping what just happened in the NFL, but we also want to look ahead. So we're going to take a Survivor first look at week number 8 in the National Football League. If you are in Survivor going into week 7, the likelihood is that you are still alive because it was a very, very chalky week. That was something that we discussed, Sam. Really, you just have to go back to Thursday. That was the game that got a bunch of people. Now, it was close with the Broncos and Packers knocking a handful of people out, but both of those teams come back and they survived there. So pretty much most people got through. Over in Circa, there were 200 eliminations. Almost all of them were on the Pittsburgh Steelers. They still have over 4,200 left there. In my high stakes pool over at Splash Sports, there are 66 left. In my larger pool, there are 398. And Paul has mentioned this because it was our first of two double pick weeks and just happens to be a week where almost everybody got through. Paul survived with the Broncos. I ended up doing Chiefs because I wanted a safe one. And then I got a little bit dicey with the Browns. or so I thought. That ended up being pretty easy. Chiefs, Bears, Patriots, Broncos, your top four picks, all safe. 34 had the Steelers. And then Packers, Browns, Seahawks, Lions, Niners were the next most popular teams. It's like, as long as you didn't take the Steelers, as long as you stayed away from Thursday, Sam, you were good in Survivor.
I know who you're not taking this week because you've talked about it. I don't want to like spoil it because we should have a conversation about it. You're not taking New England against Cleveland. I know that.
Here's the thing. You would think, looking at week 8, 6 teams on bye, you've taken 7 teams already, times are going to be tough. Nope. That's not how I view it, Sam. We have 8 teams this week that are favored by at least 6.5 points. 8. One is a 2-touchdown favorite, a 10 to 10.5 point favorite, and everybody else in that 6.5 to 7.5 range. So there are a lot of options this week. Be careful. Probably 1 or 2 go down. I don't see it being a repeat of week number 7. But what you were hinting at, I have number 6 on the list as far as if you go in order of the highest money lines. But they will be taken because people are buying on Drake May. This is not a spot where I want to take New England -7 versus Cleveland. Is that the one you were thinking of?
Yeah, I don't think you're taking New England. That's what I was getting at. I don't know that you want to face that defense with this quarterback. I figured that was the case. There are some easy ones, though. I mean, Colts, 14-point favorite. Don't think they lose, easy. But some people don't want to do divisional games. Okay, fine. So let's move on. Oh, there's the Chiefs, Monday night, 10.5-point favorite, 11-point favorite. Probably not going to lose at home to Marcus Mariota. Don't think that's going to happen. If you don't want to do that one, Cincinnati, Flacco, Chase, Higgins against the Jets, who have not won a game yet. You've got a ton of options this week. That said, given all the favorites won last Sunday but one, and both favorites won Monday night, don't we know how this works in the NFL? We get upsets the next week.
Yeah, the primetime ones might be a little scary, but the dogs have been covering in the prime times. They've been winning outright a lot this year in the primetime games. Okay, so the ones you mentioned I like as well, but we are at a point in the season where maybe a lot of people have used Kansas City. Maybe they've used Indianapolis, and those are not options. I agree with both of those, of course. You mentioned Cincinnati against the Jets. Yeah, I'm good with that. How are the Jets going to keep up? Sam, they have not scored a touchdown in back-to-back weeks. I don't care if you believe in Flacco or not. I'm not saying he's going to repeat that performance, but he's going to do enough offensively where the Jets won't be able to keep up. They have no shot. They bench Fields during the game. I guess you're going with Tyrod moving forward. Whatever, it doesn't matter. They sit 0-7. They're probably going to be 0-8 after this game. Not a lot of spots to use Cincinnati. Almost no future value. I'm looking ahead. They get the Bears in week 9. Okay, when else are they going to be favored? I don't know. There are no spots.
Never?
Never. Maybe not. Maybe not. There's Pittsburgh, New England, at Baltimore, at Buffalo, Baltimore again, at Miami. Should be a winner late in the year.
Burrow, I would think, if he comes back, there's a lot of discussion about that. If he's cleared, will they bring him back? I mean, if your season's over, why would you bring them back? But if they're still alive and they clear them, you'll be favored week 17, week 18. You're home against Arizona, home against Cleveland.
Yeah, I'm not doing New England. We mentioned the three that we would do. Here's one that might be under-owned because there are so many options that I think is good. Atlanta at home after a bad road loss against the dumpster fire that is the Miami Dolphins.
That should
be good.
I wouldn't bet Miami money line with your money, so I understand it. No. I thought you were going to say Baltimore, but Atlanta's in that same school of you're kind of buying low on a team, although Chicago's clearly much better than Miami. We all understand that.
So with Baltimore, If you have them available, I would just rather use them after I see Lamar. Let's give him not the first week back. Let's wait a little bit, and we're going to have options down the road if you still have them, like the Jets. They get them. They go to Cleveland later in the year. Oh, look, next week they go to Miami, Sam. Like, there's another good spot. I'd rather Lamar get out there, return from the injury, and then I would take him. So I'd probably actually stay away. Even though I like Baltimore in the game and then at that number, I would stay away in survival with Baltimore, with New England. Look, Buffalo against Andy Dalton. Yeah, they're going to win. I'm not sure I'm going to take them because of the other options that we have. And there's one more that we have not discussed with the large point spread. Would you use the Eagles against the Giants? Eagles at home. We just saw this game. Revenge on the Eagles' minds after the Giants upset them on the previous Thursday.
The Giants are not winning this game.
I would agree.
Not happening.
I'd agree.
Not yep. twice in 3 weeks. Not happening.
Mm-hmm. So first look, we just gave you six options. We'll narrow it once we get to Thursday, but I think there are six solid options, and I don't care who you are, one of them is going to be available for you. Don't love New England. Don't love Baltimore. Indy, KC, Buffalo, Atlanta, Philly, Cincinnati. I think they're going to be good, which means one of them is going to upset a lot of people. But here's the thing. There's probably no chalk. Like, Indy will be used the most, of course, if you haven't used them yet. But there's probably not going to be any one team where it's, oh, my God, 30, 40%, because there are so many different options this week. So from that perspective, it is kind of interesting. Who do you want to use here? Who do you want to use that you're not going to be able to use moving forward? So make sure that you're looking at the future value, and we'll narrow the list a little bit once we get to Thursday on the show. As far as, you know, it's Tuesday, people that are into fantasy, you know, Evans covers it like crazy at night. We were talking to Gertz off air about the waiver wire. I don't know if you've taken a look because you're working that wire, dude. You've got everybody injured on your team. And I was like, is it kind of a boring week? He's like, yeah, it's a lot of retreads for the most part. So it doesn't seem like maybe you want to lose your priority spot this week, but a lot of the injuries that we saw this past week, it comes down to the quarterbacks. And I don't think anybody's running to go get Mariota to play against the Kansas City defense or Andy Dalton to play against the Bills coming off a bye.
I won by a point this week. And I was telling the squad during one of the breaks, I'm very proud of this. I know people don't care about our fantasy teams, and that's fine. But I only started two people that were in my opening day lineup. Like, that's how much I've grinded this year. I traded for DeAndre Swift. I got Jared Goff off the scrap heap because Burrow got hurt. I started Jordan Addison, who I drafted and kind of stashed away. Michael Mayer, I had to scoop him up. He had one catch for 10 yards. The receiver in Tennessee, Ayo Manor, and then the Colts defense I picked up. Like, all my guys are hurt. McLaurin, Ridley, Njoku, Burrow. I cut another running back. Tracy was hurt. Benson, IR. My team is littered with injuries. And I still scored 116 points in a 12-player league. I don't know how.
Just getting by. Do you have guys that are going to be coming back?
Yeah.
If you're able to, like, hang around.
McLaurin should come back. Njoku should come back. Ridley should come back. I think Burrow eventually comes back, but Goff has been just fine. McCaffrey got me 40 points. 40. 39.1.
Kill him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You do get a lot of buys this week. So I mentioned that with the Survivor conversation that we've got six teams on bye. You would think it would be kind of challenging, but maybe not. Maybe not. Just looking at some of the waiver wire lists that people are throwing out there, Flacco's interesting. Flacco's interesting. If you think that he's just going to keep chucking it all day to those very talented receivers, if you're looking for a QB to fill a bye spot, maybe that guy's an option. As far as some of the other names, like Menangai, I know the Bears, he's getting a lot of love. Swift was the main guy, but he got a lot of usage, man. Ben Johnson is doing what he did in Detroit, and I don't know why people are surprised by that. Maybe because the Bears historically haven't had a good offensive line, or you look at the talent in the backfield, didn't seem like they had a lot, but it's not just Swift. He always uses multiple backs, so I don't think that would be an awful pickup if you were looking for a running back to fill a spot.
I need a tight end because I don't know what's up with Njoku. It looks like the top two tight ends on waivers are Aronde Gadsden.
Yes.
And
yes.
Juwan Johnson for the Saints. One of those two I should pick up, huh?
Well, then you got to play him Thursday if you go Gadsden.
I'm not playing Michael Mayer again. I'm good on that. I lived that nightmare already.
I don't mind that. Like, he had to throw all day because they were trailing, but Herbert was targeting him a ton. So he had 7 catches, 164 yards, and a touchdown. The key for me, 9 targets. Yes, you have all those weapons, Keenan Allen, Ladd McConkey, and Johnston was out. So if Johnston's out again, I think Gadsden would be a good look. You have upside. Young guy, terrific quarterback. Not always pass heavy, but if they're trailing in a game, he certainly will be. If to fill an injury or a bye spot, like, yeah, I'd feel better about Gadsden than getting any piece of that hideous Raiders offense.
I'm dropping Mayer. See ya. Hit the bricks. Goodbye. Done. Well, so the claim has been submitted. Yeah. Mayer out. Gadsden in. Let's go.
Gertz says he's going to be the number one target. Really? You're talking waiver wire. You're not talking Chargers. I assume
I'm
he's talking
he
waiver
means
wire.
In the waiver wire, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good pick. That's a good pick. Did you see anything on Kincaid this week? Because, you know, these teams going by, you don't really know. I hope he's ready to come back.
According to this Buffalo blog, that says they need him. Okay, Sports Illustrated one day ago, Dalton Kincaid closer to playing week 8.
Yeah. That offense did not look great without him. Last time we saw him against the Atlanta Falcons. You're right. I think that's a good point on Atlanta. They are just that hot and cold team. If they have a great week, stay off or fade them. If they're coming off a bad loss or coming back home in a spot against a very soft opponent, that would be the week that you want to jump on them, right? Tua, dude, this guy was beyond awful. That guy was talking all that mess about we got to do this, we got to do that, and there's people showing up late to meetings. And then he goes out there and he throws 3 interceptions and he fumbled it 3 times. He didn't lose any of them, but he was kind of close to having 6 turnovers himself in that game. What a mess.
Which contract is worse, the Tua contract for $212 million or the Trevor Lawrence for $275
million? Probably Trevor Lawrence, just because more money. If you fire the coach, are both of those quarterbacks going to be gone from their current team next year?
I think Jacksonville should move on, or at least try.
I do too. You know that's not his guy.
No.
Mm-mm. You know it's not. Let him have his guy. He's proven enough, okay? He's your coach. Let him get his pick of a quarterback. Joe O, Sammy P, this is Bet Sweats. All right, coming up next, we've got our lightning bets. What does the room have in store for our first night of NBA action? We'll find out on the BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
NBA's here tonight. Were you aware? People are betting it. Only have a couple of games. Full card on Wednesday night. That's how the NBA usually rolls. You got your Monday, your Wednesday, and your Friday where you get a ton of games, but just a couple tonight. Sam, they're going to be on NBC. They've got the Showtime pregame show scheduled. I was surprised to see that they are clearing the decks over at NBC to show their commitment to bringing back the NBA. So, sorry, you can't watch Chicago PD, Chicago Fire, Chicago Med for your 3 hours tonight.
Damn. Before we hear the room, I'm going to tell you right now, I like the Rockets tonight, +7. Now, if the room comes Rockets, abort mission. But I'm thinking about taking the points with Houston tonight.
Speaking of that, Harry tweets us, a regular listener and viewer to the show. If I remember correctly, didn't the room start with basketball? Talking about the playoffs in the spring. I think he's right. I think that's when we started paying attention. Because the room was epically bad. Kind of like they are this year with college football.
I don't remember. I just remember saying something like, where's the room at? And you thought it was funny. So then we just started tracking it. Because we were looking at, it may have been like the zigzag theory in the playoffs. Because I know for a fact we started doing the room, or we had done the room at the beginning of last basketball season. So maybe, Paul, do you remember when we started doing the room officially?
I don't think we called it the room until this summer heading into football season. But the idea
remember
of the room was last NBA season.
Sam was talking about some of the ideas that would be thrown around in the TV meetings for your sports betting show. And it's like a lot of it is doing the same stuff, just dressing it up in a different way. You're like, oh, and where's the room? Where's this? Where's that? And I just thought, where's the room was very funny to me. So I think it was thrown out there before somewhere.
But, sense of we were sitting in a conference room and everybody liked the same bet. It was a Celtics game or something. Oh, I like the Celtics tonight. And I'm like, the room. Like, the whole room is on the Celtics. I think that was how it started in my brain. I don't remember when we hard launched it, though. I'm glad we did, but I don't remember.
I think playoff sounds right, especially when we got player props. But yes, we do remember we took note of it. I've taken note that in the beginning of every season, it's terrible. That's the takeaway for me. I'm not saying that in the middle of the year, once you have more intel on these teams, it's the time. But people are betting when they know nothing about the players, about the league. They stunk in the beginning of the NFL season. Epically bad in college football, 0-5 ATS this weekend, and last year in the NBA. Like, it was a ridiculous run. The most popular bet every single night lost. So that's what I've certainly noticed. But let's find out. Night number one of this NBA season. Where's the room?
Where's the room?
Paul Aspen here. What you got?
All right, we got props and we got size and totals. So with just two games, these are the most popular. This is from our guy John Ewing over BetMGM. Popular NBA opening night bets. This is money as opposed to the tickets at BetMGM. So number six, Lakers Warriors over 225.5. Lakers plus 125 on the money line. Rockets, I'm laughing because of what's coming. Rockets Thunder over 227.5. Rockets money line plus 225. Warriors minus 2.5. And the most popular bet for NBA opening night at BetMGM, Rockets plus 6.5.
Nope, I'm good.
Sorry, I'm good, Sam.
But you said that's money, not tickets, right?
So that's it is a little different. That's why I thought it was worth giving out, but that's the only info we have at this moment. It was more so props that we got that we can go through. But I know this started when we first started doing NBA. Props. It was like the most popular side was the loser.
Oh. As far as tickets, there's nothing that's super – nothing is at 60% or higher. So nothing's really popular tonight. It's all over the place.
So maybe the props or the maybe we can find something here instead on the props. So we will go with the Lakers-Warriors first. All right, fifth most bet prop at BetMGM for Lakers Warriors tonight. Luka over 8.5 assists. Number four, Jimmy Butler to score the first field goal at plus 750. They're always good for a first field goal bet.
Here we go. NBA season's back.
Yeah. Buddy Hield under 2.5 3-pointers.
Let's go.
Buddy Alt. Let me get the juice for you guys on these two. Oh, yeah, that's minus 150, by the way. Buddy Hield to go under 2.5 3-pointers.
He's going to wrap threes in their eyeball.
Right?
Can't wait. Okay.
Al Horford, under 14.5 points, rebounds, and assists, is the second most bet prop at BetMGM. That number is actually currently at BetMGM at 13.5. And the most bet prop for Lakers Warriors is Austin Reeves over 5.5 assists.
Hmm.
Not minus 105. Not gonna lie.
Yep. That's your guy.
I did not know he was still in the league.
Any of those stand out to anybody as the one that you might wanna
the buddy heel.
Buddy heel.
The under 2.5 threes at minus 150 is the fade for sure.
And he averaged making 2.5 threes per game last season. And so what's the number? 2.5. But it's way juice to the under. Okay. I don't quite agree with that one. 5.8 assists for whatever it's worth last year for Reeves. But, yeah, of course a Laker is the most popular bet there.
Buddy, over 2.5 is plus 110 for what it's worth. 4 plus threes is plus 280. We move on to the Thunder and Rockets player props. Fifth most bet prop at BetMGM for this game, Cason Wallace over 2.5 rebounds. Kevin Durant over 23.5 points. That is at minus 125. By the way, the number on Wallace over 2.5 is minus 130. So anytime you can lay that, you probably should on a rebound prop. SGA under 6.5 assists. SGA, this is their first field goal, plus 575. And I think we might have a Dort and Hield night. Dort under 2.5 3-pointers is the most bet prop for Thunder Rockets. And the under on is minus 165.
Ah, yes, yes.
Makes a lot of sense. So he averaged last year about 6 attempts per game. Why? Why is Dort the guy? It's scary because they're so deep. They have so many guys that they can run through. Like Dort doesn't even he plays a little under 30 minutes per game. Man. But I kind of thought the same thing. Okay, so they picked one particular player in each game to go under 2.5 made threes, and they're laying a big price on it. Like, those might not be the worst plays in the world if you're just looking to fade the room early in the season, which is the time to do it.
So think about Heald too. Back to the first game, Moses Moody is out. He's not going to play. So you would think that Buddy Heald would either start or get starter minutes tonight. That's my. Yeah. I'm not going to lightning bet it, but I will. I will be looking at Buddy Heald. I like when Paul goes ladders. Like,
of course.
NBA night one. Let me climb that ladder. Night one.
Yep. Yep.
By the way, the star plus SGA, Luka, like I get it, and I'm not really interested in fading those guys right now.
Yeah. Just to go over 2.5 for Dort is +125. To go over 2.5 3-pointers. So if you want to fade the room.
Yep.
Heald's making none or he's making five. I think it's very hit or miss with Buddy Heald. He's either on fire or he's not playing. So
yep.
Makes five is plus sense. 650, by the way.
Oh, that's it? Good.
Okay.
Unreal.
I think the same thing for Dort. Like, he's the same way. He'll go 0 for or he'll hit 6 or 7. Like, that has certainly happened. All right, Sam, where are you going for lightning bets today?
I'm going to take the Rockets plus 7. Multiple 7s in the market. Durant against his old squad. But I think the Rockets are a lot better than people think. So I'm going to take the 7, go against the champs on ring night, banner night. Give me the points.
Okay. Yeah, that's historically, that's usually a pretty strong angle to go there. I was disappointed to see the Super Bowl matchups that the favorite is KC Detroit. Because I expected that to be the case, but I was hoping you could find some value, and you can't right now. BetMGM already has the finalists listed. And Sam, I kept looking at KC Seattle. 40. 40 to make it. KC to beat Seattle is 75.
Ooh. That might be the last bet to make on Seattle. That's the one.
This is the only. Now we've resorted to this. KC to beat Seattle 75-1.
Darnold to the Super Bowl and then lose to the Chiefs.
Yeah. Well, they're not beating the Chiefs, right?
Right. Because I was going to ask, what's Seattle to beat KC? But it's not going to happen.
Oh, I didn't even look.
Do them both.
I didn't bother looking.
Do them both. Do the old 80-20 split. 80% on the Chiefs win, 20% on the Seattle win. That's the Dave Sherapin special. He would always split.
There we got to do something there. So, yeah, I'll look up what that number is, and I'll get back to you in a moment. Paul, what do you have tonight?
Don't have much for tonight. So, Jake, if you get anything.
Okay.
I mean, the Buddy Heald over 4.5. It's out of principle to have to do it.
Four and a half. Ladders.
I don't mind it at all.
Ladders good. To the moon.
All right, Power Ranking Wednesday tomorrow. Lots to cover. It should be a lot of fun. Joe O, Sammy P. We are here weekdays, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern, BetMGMNetwork.com. Subscribe to the BetMGM Network YouTube page. This is the BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.